Okay. You were saying?
Wow, what was I saying about people I meet? I see people sitting in my chair all the time, and you know, you can see the people that have the energy to give and that they don't age. You actually had the opportunity to meet one of those women at the event, and she looks the same to me, if not more beautiful than back 20 years ago. And they are all the ones that are coming in and they have no energy, and all they say is complain. You know, I'm unhappy, I don't like my job. Okay, so what are you gonna do about it? Well, when I lose weight, I'm gonna try to get another job. And I'm like, so why don't you just do it now? Well, you know, what are you doing? Why can you lose the weight? Well, I can go to the gym, why not? But I don't have time, we'll get up an hour earlier. You know, like I give them all the tools. And I'm doing it myself, so when I'm telling somebody, go and work out because you can, I get up at 5:30 in the morning because I had to get my kids up at 7. So what I'm telling people and I'm enrolling them is because I'm enjoying it and I see what it's doing for me. And so watching that, like, you know, I tell you, I see people deflated, like without any energy. And I know that if they work out, if they take care of themselves, they will be happy, they will have the relationship for what they want, and they will look amazing. Like, we create and control our destiny in the way we feel and look. Like, I finally learned that, and you know, like, I realized myself. The only one that was stopping myself from getting to the next level is me. Whether I wasn't ready, whether I was afraid, whatever it was. But we're the only ones stopping ourselves.
So how did you get into this world of the salon?
Salon? Necessity? You know, I never thought this would be it for me. But I came to America and I was already 23 when I moved here. That was almost 25 years ago. I was 23 and a half, and I had a great job. They actually invited me to come here. I had an own driver in Dominican Republic, and you know, my Lincoln Continental that used to bring me back and forth. I was in the record industry, and I used to pay the radio stations to play my music. That was my job. Payola. That was my job at 23. And I came to America and I was like, I can go back. I need to learn how to speak English in 6 days. So I decided to stay, and I tried everything. Every kind of job. I used to be a home attendant, take care of older people. That was my first job, during the day. And at night I used to go to school to learn how to speak English. I would only take on a job if they could speak English. If they didn't speak English to me, I didn't want the job. And to keep my sanity, I started going to modeling school so I could feel pretty, because it was an ugly job. And when I graduated from that school, it was Spanish modeling school, still on, they offered me a job as a teacher. So I started teaching little girls how to walk, how to move, how to do all these things. But it was in Spanish because I didn't speak English yet. So through all that, it's been a really interesting, always knowing, you know, I'm finishing this job and I'm gonna learn something, because the next job is gonna get better. And the next job, you know, whenever I feel life is not easy, I'm going back to school. And that's how I've been getting one step ahead every year.
How do you see yourself?
How do I see myself? This is interesting, because I think cutting hair is my tool to get the connections, to really, I see myself more as a healer, as somebody who has no fear and see the possibilities. A lot of people find themselves stuck in situations that are very simple, but because they are so attached emotionally, they find themselves in a cage. And I think that I have the freedom to tell that. Don't be afraid, you can do it. It doesn't matter what it is, I've been there. I've done that, and it gets better, but you have to do the work. It takes work to get to the next step, the next level. And I'm willing to do the work.
And what do you want your kids to learn?
My kids, I want my daughters to really strength. I want my daughters to really have the strength to decide whatever they want to do is possible. Anything is possible, especially in America. This is it. This is the place to make anything happen. Like, you know, education, if you want to go to school, this country offers that for you. If you want a job, right now, if I don't want to do hair, I can go into real estate. I can go into nursing. I can do anything. And I promise you within the next 3 years, I'll have my little office open. Because it's possible. I hear people, oh, they're not jobs. I haven't got a new job for a year. I've been here for 24 years, and I was never out of a job. And you know what? I couldn't go to college, but I went to Columbia University for English classes on Sunday. I went to NYU for classes on Saturday. I went to Manhattan Community College every night. So everything is there. And I think I see myself more as a, going to schools, talking to girls, talking to especially immigrant women. I think I was, at one point I was playing with the idea, and I would love to have the time to really work on that. I would love to create a foundation where I can empower immigrant girls. Yes, for me too, as well. Thank you.
You're welcome. Do you like Facebook maybe?
No, that's fine. Thank you. You know what happened with our kids? Like, let's say, my sisters, my ex-husband is Irish, he's American, he's Irish.
I know she had a last name, which was very
Sullivan, Irish. Yeah. He's Puerto Rican and Irish.
But you don't have an Irish accent.
I know, right? Oh, the blue hair.
Oh,
the blue eyes and the light hair. I really see myself more as enrolling others to do the best they can with their lives. And helping other women in really finding themselves. I think us women have such a hard job. And if we don't make some changes soon, we're going to be passing on to the next generations the same things. And it's not helping the male community either, because it's not coming from an empowerment. Thank you. So I do really see myself working with that, how to help other, especially women. The women, I think, are the one that can help the male, the community. How can we, if we become, you see, one of the things that I have learned, especially these past couple of years when I was getting a divorce, and the biggest thing was, you know, when somebody's going through emotional and fearful emotions, people just get angry. And instead of just seeing the other person with love, it's easier to attack. So I learned how to do it from a different place, from love. So how do you disconnect from love? I have this woman who's a client who's amazing. And one of the things that she told me was she went through a divorce 35 years ago, opposite to the way I did mine. And she says, I want to show you what I did. And I would love for you to do it opposite to the way I did it. So what she told me was how to disconnect from love. When I was angry, she told me how not to be angry and just to try to understand that this person was being that way just because he didn't know better. So when I learned to see him with love eyes, not only did I got what I wanted, but I also kept the man who's 50% of who my kids are higher and stronger. So my daughters became higher and stronger. And in the process, it was just a fabulous agreement that was supposed to be a disagreement. But we came out agreeing with things. It's like, okay, this is where we are. Let's take responsibility 50-50 for where we are. We're not accusing, we're not defending. How do we move forward? Now, imagine approaching life from that place. But let's just do the best.
You have to have an agreement between both parties to not to keep out of the museum, so to speak, and to go forward rather than looking back. And how does, you know? So you may have that, but how does the other party to this?
The job is my job, and I know it was not easy, and I was not in a hurry to get there. I know as a mother I have a responsibility, and it's to do my best. So right now, I need to think ahead. And, you know, my goal of getting divorced was not how am I going to prevent my kids from having to fix their emotions in the future. And one of the things that I learned was that this is my story. It's not theirs. So what we told them was how much we love them and adore them and we'd always be there for them. And when they ask about why, when you become an adult, we will tell you why. Right now, this has nothing to do with you. Guess what? They were happy to, because they don't want to know. They want to love you. They don't want to know the stories. They don't want to make it up and change it and enhance it. And that's what most people do. And in the process, they hurt everyone. We were able to do it in such a great way, and that was my challenge. You know, people used to tell me, but why is it taking you so long? Why don't you just do this? Why don't you just do that? You know what, because I was not in a competition. I was very secure knowing that my goal was that. I'm not going to put on my gloves and have a fight and punch and go. It's not about who can punch more. It's about how can we get out of this safe and healthy. And that's my approach to life. How can we handle, you know, any situation from a healthy place, from a balanced place, not from an emotional, fearful place? And I'm free. And it's fabulous. You know, life is amazing. And we have second, third, fourth. How many times do you get married?
I've been married twice.
Twice? You know what? I have an Indian friend who says once is enough, and that's how the way I feel right now. Life, I'm just grateful to have a second chance to have my life back. And it's fabulous. And I just, you see, that's the thing that people feel like, okay, we have to do things. And in the past, that's how I always felt like, okay, I have to do this to do that. I have to do this. And no, it doesn't have to be compensations.
So maybe going through my divorce, I realized I had to learn something. And the part of having to learn something was also to reinvent the concept of marriage. And possessive thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, marriage serves a purpose for society and for religion. But it actually, if you look at the divorce rate, it doesn't work. Not only the divorce rate, but the people who are stuck in marriage, and they're trapped. So I think part of it is how we rethink our relationships. So what have you learned about how you rethink your relationships to yourself and to other people, and to relationships in general, in terms of marriage, in terms of just being vulnerable?
You know, for me, I think I'm a special case, and one of it has to do a lot that I came from another country. Right? I came from another country, and suddenly I married someone from another country, who our cultures were so different, our beliefs, so I found someone, actually, if I can get more hot water, that would be great, thank you. Mm-hmm. I think, you know what, I thought I had, this person have good qualities. There were some that were not so great, but you know what, I can fix it and I can change it. But that takes time to learn. And I think that's how everyone, and I see it over and over in my chair, how everyone wants to think that, you know what, they think they what they want. And I think I was there as well. I wanted to be a mom. That I was very clear. I think that if I didn't find anyone, I was probably going to get bison sperms and be a mom. Because when I want something, it happens. So, thank you so much. Thank you. So, What did I learn? I learned that marriage is not really a job. It's supposed to be a partnership. A partnership where two people care about each other. And really, really, it's not about, you know, like, and I see it in my parents. My father will, my mom wants this, he will give it to her. And it's just, and he does it with love. Like, it's the most incredible emotions that I've been able to see it for, you know, they've been married for 56 years. And now, my mother is in the hospital. Do you know that he is there since 9 o'clock this morning? And he says to me, I will leave after when she's ready, they kick me out. But I want to be here. And I know he's enjoying being there. He's 88 years old. And I know that is possible because I've seen it. I didn't get that kind of relationship. Was I disappointed? Yes. Did I try to fix it? Yes. I gave 200% to it. But when I knew it wasn't working, I felt a big responsibility. I have two girls, and I really want them to have the right relationship. And me not having the right one was not the right model. And I do believe that I have a responsibility. And when I'm at it here, that's what I want to leave behind. The strength and the integrity that I have to relationships.
So what would be, what do you want out of a relationship? Or what do you, what is a relationship?
What do I want out of a relationship? I want laughter. I want to have fun. I want to be able to be just because it's possible. Life is, it was not meant to be a struggle. And we create drama and nonsense out of nowhere. And I know because I come from a place where there was not that. And this is the reason why I'm so lucky that I know how to go back. Because I have that training. I come from love. And that is possible. So, am I looking? Hell no. If it happens one day, it will be beautiful. But I know that what I do believe exists.
And how will you know when you know it?
I think you just know it. And I, you know, how will I know? The same way that I know when somebody tries to, like, pull a trick on me. And I'm like, oh, been there, done that. Experience, time, you know, trusting your intents. In the past, I didn't, because I always wanted to give people the benefit of the doubt. And I always wanted to trust, because I'm trustworthy. So everybody should be.
Well, it's interesting, because sometimes I feel I'm an inventor. Mm-hmm. So invention is seeing the obvious that nobody else sees.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And sometimes I meet people who are waiting for Mr. Right or Mrs. Right or whatever, and they wouldn't know if they saw it.
Oh, I would know it.
So I'm just wondering,
I think in my eyes I will know it, yes. But you know what, I have an Indian friend, she is 62, and she came from a very difficult abusive relationship in India. And she says to me, I say, but what, she's beautiful. Why wouldn't you marry again? You know, I'm trying to get her connected with a friend of mine that I know in India. She says, for an Indian woman, once is too many times.
It's going to be true for many cultures.
Yeah. So look, that really made an impact with me. And she's a mother of four, and she's a beautiful woman. But imagine, at 27, she had four kids, and she never married. You know, then she had this abusive relationship that went on, I think, for like 15 years, and then she walked away. But it doesn't have to be. But I think that many times, like, if I can tell you right now in my life, I am in such a great place. I'm just celebrating that I have my freedom again. I didn't think that was possible. You know, this is the first divorce in my family. And we're 10. We're 10 girls and 4 boys. This is the first divorce. So it was really hard. I didn't think I was going to be able to do it. Excuse me. But like, all that gives me such a power. Just to know that I was able to do it, and do it from a good place. Not from fighting or any, just from strength and love. just to know that this is the good thing to do.
What did you learn in the process of doing that? How the little nuances of what you were you wanted to do that, but how did you know that? What was the process like? What did you have to go through? You and your ex-husband.
Well, the alchemist. Do you remember that alchemist? I think I've been. Let me tell you. I think I have invested over $40,000 in seminars, workshops. Every book that somebody comes in and says you should read this book, I run and get it. Every workshop, every video, every movie that has a message, I did it. Everybody who's, I have a group of psychologists that are working on these ancestors and how the ancestors affect who you are. I've been learning, and in the process, everything is finally coming together and making sense. But I think one of the best gifts was these women who told me how to disconnect from love. And that was amazing.
She didn't explain how she told you that. How do you disconnect from love?
Okay, and this is the great way that she put it to me. I remember, this is the thing, like let's say when you're arguing with someone, I have a little hard time. I don't know how to argue. We're 14 in my family. But none of us are fighters.
Really?
None of us. We have the best relationship. We don't gel. We're not. How was it possible? How did my parents did it? I don't know. But I never had that training in my system. Now I married somebody who is exactly opposite. So what I learned was, in the beginning I tried to just like discuss, because you know, things are black or white and you discuss them. Finally I realized I'm never gonna win, so I ended up not speaking. So what happens was, little by little, I started getting sick over it. So I started having dreams that I was choking on glass. This was about 3 years ago when I realized I had to get help, because I was having nightmares. And the nightmares were my voice. When I finally woke up, I realized of one of my dreams that I was having the dreams because I was not. I lost my voice. And at that moment, I decided to go and speak with a therapist. And that was the beginning of the change, getting that those emotions out. Because I would talk to women like, how can you do this? How can you be in a relationship like that? Meanwhile, I wasn't one. And all the things that I didn't want, I was living in, but I didn't know how to. And if none of the person was a bad person, it's just he didn't have the training that I needed. And I couldn't fix them. So, you know, when you are involved in emotions like that, then I started looking at it from the outside. What can I do to make this better? Because my fear was, how can, if we don't change, we're going to pass this on to our girls. And then that is a problem. And I have too much responsibility. So that's when I decided to, I remember, I never forget, this lady that was there, she's a therapist friend of one of my clients. You know, the messages always come. So I remember one time I was speaking with her. We were in a plane from Mumbai to Delhi, and we were talking about this, and she says, and I said, but how can I change? You know, how can I fix them? She says, you can never fix anyone. You need to fix yourself. So I started fixing myself. So in the process, I took boxing classes, and I got in a ring. And I started realizing the mistakes of what I was doing. I was doing a lot of, have you ever done boxing? Have you ever gotten in a ring?
As a kid, and it was pretty intense. Just for one round.
It is amazing. You should have this experience. I will love for you to meet this guy. You know, I am so blessed. When I need something, he just walks through my door. So I remember at a point when I was very weak, and a client came in and she looked amazing. The minute she walked in, I was like, what are you doing? I want that. She says, well, I've been boxing. I was like, what? She's like, yeah, I've been boxing. I'm like, boxing how? Kickboxing? She's like, no, in a ring, with your gloves, you know, boxing. So I said, give me his number. 2 weeks later, she says, you know, I saw my trainer, he hasn't seen you yet. I say, you know what? I'm gonna call him right now. I met this guy and I chained with him for 5 months. 5 days a week for 5 months. It changed my life. He showed me that what I was doing, you know, like when you, I will be going down, throwing. So how can you, I be good at everything? He says, you need to concentrate, you need to focus, you need to realize all you need to do, you don't need to hit, you just need not to get hit. That was the beginning of an incredible transformation. And I think...
Not to get hit. How to dance, so you avoid...
So you don't, it's not about hitting.
Right.
It's not about who's stronger. It's about staying safe. And that was amazing. Another thing that he told me was, that I think it was brilliant, it was, bless you. Bless you.
That's my grandfather. He always sneezes and threes. But go ahead, he also told you what?
He also told me one thing that was, I think it was brilliant. I remember whenever I was confronted, you know, I would react. And he says, you know, you don't need to react. You know, just get out of the way. And whenever somebody will, like, throw something at you, okay, you don't need to punch back. They throw, but that doesn't mean that they hit you. Just get out of the way. Or block it. And then when you bring those tools to real life, it's like, oh, my God, this is what I'm doing. And suddenly, you know, all that noise started getting lower and lower. And suddenly, peace became more of an everyday thing. And it's brilliant. It's brilliant. I wish I can help other women understand it. I have friends going through divorces right now, doing all the wrong things. You know, dating people while they're trying to get out of a divorce. Going out a lot, fighting with their ex-husbands. You know, all those things that all they create is more problems. Meanwhile, you know, my goal is now to keep my girls balanced, safe, and...
What about yourself?
And myself. And finally, I'm having a little time for my... Like, this is... For me, this is amazing. Like, normally, I can't do these things. But now, because he takes them a little bit, on and off, I can have 2 days for myself every other weekend. They live with me. I have full custody of my kids. And they're my life. They're amazing.
So what do you tell these women? What would you tell these women who sit in your chair, who are going through these issues?
To find power, to find a strength. I give them the books that I read. For every issue, there is a book that somebody went through the same emotions and the same difficulties. You know, we don't have to do anything on our own. There's so much help. There's so much. Everyone wants to help. But we have to be ready to accept the help. And that is the problem. But when we're ready, everything is there. Every time I need a tool, what is my princess? When the student is ready, the teacher will appear. But not before. We have
so
to be ready.
So how do we know we're ready? Or when are we ready? What is it to be ready?
To be aware. To be in silence long enough to really get it. Most of the time we're so busy that we missed out. There's a great book. It's called The Silent Power. Have you ever heard of this book by Stuart Wilde? It's called The Silent Power. This guy is brilliant. And one of the things that he says in his book is, if you really pay attention, you don't need to really see people speak. You will know what they want to say just by their mannerisms. But most of the time we're so busy that we're gonna spend 5 hours standing in a corner and we don't even, if somebody asks you, was there a garbage container there? You and people wouldn't even notice. Because we're so busy in our own heads that we missed out. And we're missing out on so much. Because we're busy.
but people are busy in their heads, usually so busy that they don't have time for anybody else. You know, we always think that, well, somebody's going to think this and that and something else. And so we're always this kind of like a spectators in our own lives, or even everybody around us is an extra in our solo. Mm-hmm. We think that people are watching us, but people are so busy in their own solo that they don't have time to really see us, just like we don't really have time to see them. You know, or care, well, you know, whether... But you're in the beauty business, which is all about appearances.
But the appearance, let me tell you, nothing looks pretty outside if the energy is not there inside. And you can see it. It doesn't matter how shiny the hair is. It doesn't matter. If there is pain inside, it comes through. And that's what I'm trying to do with my work. How to get, what's going on in your life? Like, you know, I make a plan with somebody. What are we doing with the haircut? But in the process of me cutting the hair, what I'm trying to figure out what's going on inside. And if I can pull something of what's going on, that makes a difference. And at the end of the haircut, that's what I get. I did a haircut a couple of days ago, and actually last night, this morning, as I was, this was 11 o'clock this morning. This is this girl that I saw last week, and she was telling me about, she's in this relationship with this guy. They met about a year ago, but the relationship, since she met him, they're always fighting about when they met originally. She wasn't dating only him. She was dating another guy. But after they became serious, then she dropped the guy but immediately, when she realized they were really serious, she dropped the other guy. But this guy has trust issues because she lied then. So a year of a relationship, and it's all about this. So I said, okay, you get upset and fight about the same thing, and then you make up, and then you go back again, and then you go back and forth, and it's like, and she's telling me the whole haircut, she's just complaining about the same thing. I say, you know what? Actually, I say, you need a silent power. You need to really go and learn. Can you live with this forever? Is it gonna get better? No, it's not gonna get better. It's just gonna get worse. And after a while, you're gonna believe all these things that this guy said, because there are stories that he's creating and recreating around the same nonsense. Is it worth it? So this morning I got this test, and she says, hi, Nursey, I got the book, Silent Power, and just started it. I already feel good about it. That's my job. What kind of tool can I offer to every person? How can I impact anyone that comes in my contact into doing the best they can with what they have? And living halfway, you know, like before I used to have patience for like things like that. If in the next haircut she's telling me the same thing, I'm gonna recommend it another book. And by the end of the week, she's gonna get tired of listening to herself complaining about the same nonsense. Now do something about it. Take charge and move on. Or stay there forever, but it's not gonna change.
Well, you know, anger becomes very addicting, and people get high on anger.
Okay, so some people like to complain forever. But also, and that is okay. And those are some people that I already realized I'm not gonna change them, which I'm not planning on. My goal is to offer them the tools and enroll them into what I did for myself and how I made it happen. Now, it's your responsibility. I can't do it for you. But I do feel a responsibility to give those tools, because I'm so lucky. You know, through the outlet I have, through my chair, I get an opportunity to get so much energy into my life. And I take what's good and I let go or learn from what's bad. But I have that opportunity. Not many people have. Do you know how many psychologists I have in my chair? How many opportunities? My gynecologist is my client. So it's like, oh, I don't need to go to see him. I'm like, what? By the way, what do you think? Okay. You know what I mean? Oh, I need a lawyer. The architect is in my chair. I get every person in my chair that has the information. Now, how you use that information or how you waste it is my responsibility. I take it seriously. Life is beautiful.
And what about your relationship to the people who come to you and when they walk in the door,
mm-hmm.
what do you see? What do you look for?
She said there were about five men in the audience, and Ron being one of them.
Every person that walks through that door, it brings with it a lot, not only themselves. It brings a partner, it brings kids, it brings what is going on. And you know, a lot of people, like I know a lot of women come to me, and it's not like I'm a man hater. I'm far from it. One of my goals is, if you're happy in a relationship, make the best of it. Stop complaining that your husband is not taking you out for a drink. Take him out for a drink. Oh, we don't go out anymore. What are you doing to go out? Are you inviting him? Are you making dates? Are you doing the right thing? So that's the thing. My I am so lucky because with the work I do, I can tell anyone, teachers, professors, priests, you know, all these people, I can say whatever because they're sitting in my chair. And this gives me freedom to say anything and to be aggressive with people that normally people would be like, oh my God, you say what? But because of the position that I am, it does get people, you know, I get people crying in my chair. I get people, you know, celebrating, telling me things, telling me stories about their brothers and sisters and family that I am like, if this person knows what I'm hearing, they will kill this one. It's fascinating. But in the process, I'm learning so much. This is great. Do you want to try it?
Okay, I'll have a little piece. How about have some
sure.
of this too? This is good. I have the beet salad, and you have the
it's pretty good.
Panade, the duck.
Mm-hmm.
Have some of this because
you try it.
Take
I'm just gonna move it. Thank you. This is good.
I never ate beets much as a kid, by the way.
I love beets.
It's just part of the culture. We had beets there, and I never really appreciated it until recently, kind of.
They're delicious.
Yeah,
and they're really good for you.
Yeah. Well, they're a red food. Mm-hmm. So red foods are really good for your blood, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
For some
I just bought myself a juicer. A juice maker.
Uh-huh.
So I just make that Jack LaLanne juice and I do beets.
Mm-hmm.
Beets and carrots. They're amazing.
Celery is good too.
Yeah, I do celery, spinach. It's my new thing.
Good for you. Well, you gotta be careful of your.
My kidneys. So that's one of the
and
things
your kids.
That. Mm-hmm. They are rough though. They don't like to try anything funky.
Mm-hmm. So, what's it like being a mother?
The most amazing gift. It's a gift. It's amazing. It's fascinating. I feel so blessed to have an opportunity to have two daughters. They're incredible. From day one, it's been amazing. I'm very, very lucky.
But so you have the people who come to your chair where you're holding court. And they're like your children.
Uh-huh. I am a nurturer. It's my job.
So you can say anything you want.
Mm-hmm.
You can
anything. That's just wonderful. And that was one of the things that saved me, I think, through all these years where, you know, I was going through difficulties in my personal life, my voice at work was always strong. My voice at work was always strong. And in the process, I was able to cultivate, you know, I never went to college, but I had the opportunity to meet a lot of my clients are college professors, and they become my friends. And, you know, people, and so I didn't go to college, and meanwhile, I have, like, these are my best friends, the people that I hang out with. So that gave me the strength to know there's something good here. No, even though I didn't have my voice and I was kind of like not feeling so strong, I was really strong in another area. So the balance really kept me okay until I was able to fix places in my life that I wasn't happy about.
So what was a defining moment for you?
My daughters. Being in a relationship when I know I wasn't happy and realizing that I, you know, most people stay in relationships because they think it's good for the kids. I could see that for my daughters it was not going to be a good thing, and that in time I could see the future and think, if I told my daughters I stay because of you, I could see them saying, but why do you do it? So it's a lot of responsibility to put on kids to say, I did this for you. They didn't ask me to. And I also realized when I turned 45, I think that was a major point in my life where I felt 45, half of my life is gone. And I have a chance to make the best of the next half. I'm going
to
do it.
Interesting, I say that to men. I once had a conversation with my cousin when he was 40. I said, what is it like to be 40? He says, well, I've made a lot of mistakes. And I said, oh, very interesting. That's good. Now you can make some really good ones. So most men are big babies. And by the time they get to be 40, they realize, wow, I've made a lot of mistakes. And maybe if they're fearless enough, they'll really make some really good mistakes. Instead of being so focused on being successful, in something that isn't, not really where they want to be. So I tell people who are 40, I said, you know, now understand where you should have been when you were 20. You know, but I wouldn't want to be a day younger than 15 right now.
I am pretty happy what I am. I never thought I would be what I am right now.
Right, you took that risk.
Compared to, you know, like a year ago, I was freaking out. You know, I was in the process of doing these things and everything. You know, can I get another cup of water? Thank you. I can drink hot water all night.
So was my mother. Hot water and lemon with honey or jam.
So, you know, it's wonderful. It's wonderful. Life is just fabulous. And having, like at this time, you know, when I lost the fear, of course it was scary. Like, what am I going to do as a single mom? You know, what is it going to be like? Is it going to be okay? My kids are going to be okay. And you know what? Thank you so much. And they are wonderful. And I know that my ex-husband and I are better parents now than we were before. And we're giving our kids the best of us. And that's the gift.
It's interesting. Kind of when you go through a divorce, you actually become closer with your kids in ways that you don't imagine. But on the other hand, divorce American style is about, you know, someone is the winner, somebody is the loser, everybody changes the facts to fit their needs.
And you know what? I tell you, and I do can see myself and my girls probably working with other couples and with kids into doing it the right way. Because it's possible. It's really possible. And my daughters are very aware of what we're doing. Very aware.
Well, you have a 13-year-old.
And a 12.
And 12, okay.
My oldest is going to be 13 in April, and my little one is going to be 12 in June.
In when?
June. They're amazing. They're such amazing girls.
I know he's thinking about money when he makes the office coffee in the afternoon instead of going to Starbucks.
How do you feel about them growing up in this time that is not your time?
I'm freaking out. Really scared.
The reality is very.
I tell you, I'm taking classes on parenting because I don't feel I have all the tools. So I need to take myself to learn how to do it right. And you know, there will always be mistakes. My goal is how can I give them tools to take care of themselves and be safe. And it's not going to be easy.
Talk to me about what you mean by tools.
Tools. You know, back when I grew up, our parents told us things, and we just did it just because that's what they said. Now, kids, what do you say? It's like, what do you mean? It's a negotiation. And this is a new thing that we don't know, you know, it's new, especially for my culture. In my culture, you live with your parents until you get married, hopefully after 25 or 30. And by then, you're safe, you're strong, you know how to handle life. In this new world, kids are by 13 are already planning when they're moving out of their home. So now, it's like, how do you give them the tools to make decisions on their own at such an early time in life? My niece just went to college. And you know, she left home for the first semester, came back with a tattoo and a nose ring. Back in my time, that would have been really, but you know what I mean? The respect that kids have these days, and it affects everything else in their lives. So, did my sister give my niece enough tools to handle what's going on in her life? Thank you. Thank you. Did my sister give her enough tools? You know, I worry. I hope she's okay. I hope she will be okay. But what's going on right now? It's a lot. Like, you know, my niece tell me the drugs. Sometimes you see kids just like bouncing off the walls. You see all these things. Is she safe enough? Does she have the tools to take care of herself? I really hope so. My daughters that are almost 13, that I still wash them myself and, you know, baby them, but they look like women. And they feel. Sure.
Thank you. We have a special tart today. It's mixed berries.
Mixed berries. Mixed berries with what?
It's a tart.
Chocotena?
Yeah, but it's with mixed berries. We have that one, and then we also have that one.
Where is that here?
It's the tart of the day.
I'm not a sweet eater. How about you?
I'm a flexible. And I'm happy just to be talking.
Cool.
Yeah, we don't sit on our sofa.
The reason I asked about the tools
are.
Yeah.